Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
He takes the precious seed and he throws it away. He scatters it into the dirt. Why? Because he believes in the harvest.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herron today turns to the book of Psalms as he shares with us a devotional called Sow the Seed.
Look at Psalms 126, because I want to give you an outline that I have given here before. Really, the whole idea of this particular psalm is believing in the harvest. The Lord, verse 3, has done great things for us, they were saying. We're glad. We're turning again our captivity like the streams in the south that would fill up every spring. They were so joyful. And here you make the statement in verse 6 when you read, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, is going to doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This picture that you end up finding in 126 of someone that is going forth and they're weeping. Why are they weeping? Bearing precious seed. They're scattering this seed and they're crying while they're giving away the seed. Why would that be? And what does the seed represent? In the New Testament, you end up finding that there are three applications of this Old Testament concept, that there were three New Testament truths. Really, what he was saying is every Christian have three valuable seeds to spend or to spread, that he says that Old Testament concept of someone sowing while their tears are coming, he said there are three seeds. Let me give them to you very simply. Number one, you'll notice the idea that Jesus uses this same Old Testament picture with the idea of the Word. In other words, it's the very message of the gospel. We won't go through this whole parable, Matthew 13, verse 3, when the Bible says he spake many things unto them in parables, and he said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And what he very simply is saying was, the sower was Christ, we now as Christians, and the seed is the Word of God, in verse 11. And then verse 12 through 15 of Matthew 13, the soil is man's heart. God says, listen, you sow that seed. You believe in the harvest. You sow it in tears. You give it away. It's the very message what drives us. And when you sow that seed, you have no idea where that's going to go. There are times you talk to people and their heart is like a rocky heart or a thorny heart or a wayside heart. Sometimes it falls on good soil. You never know. You know what? You have responsibilities as well to sow the seed. That's the Word of God. That's what Jesus used as that New Testament application. Number two, he not only talks about the Word of God, he also says that the seed also represents wealth. He says it in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. This I say, he that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully is going to reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give. What is he talking about? He's not talking about giving the Word of God now as a seed. The seed is wealth. It's money. It's his treasures. It wasn't just the truth now. It was the very treasure out of his pocket. And the New Testament uses the Old Testament truth of a New Testament application and making commentary on it to realize that the link between the Old Testament tithing and New Testament giving is a willing heart. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you're willing to give and sow your money into the hearts and lives of people for my cause, I will bless you for that. And it's a simple term, agrarian principle. In other words, you reap the same amount of what you sow, and sometimes you reap even more. Put down Luke 6:38. This is how the Bible says, Give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet or you sow it, it's going to be measured to you again. You end up giving it out, God will give it back. He does that with the word of God, he says, and he does it also with our money. Maybe it's not wealth. Maybe it's just whatever little you have. You sow and you give, and it's amazing what God will give back to you. That is a simple truth, but it is so true, and sometimes it's often missed. Let me come back to the Word of God and the application of that. Mr. Tony Fox, 10 years ago, lived in Poland. He was so burdened to be able to train the Polish people. People that were getting saved, they needed the Word of God, and they had a desire to go out to those Polish people and Lithuanian people. And out of all those experiences, for 10 years, he ended up doing that. He came back to the States for a few years, then he came back here, and he moved here for the same reason. You know what? I want to teach people how to be able to take the Word of God, sow it in the life of others. And financially, he also sowed into all of that ministry in Poland. God blessed him. He came here, and he said, I'm challenging these Chinese pastors to learn how to give of themselves and give of their monies, and God continually blesses them. Now, if you understand that, let me give you also the third way in the New Testament that God uses that Old Testament concept for a New Testament application, and that's the idea not only of our the Word of God and our wealth, but also of our work, really what we do. That's our ministry. He says it not only in the very message of the gospel and the very money, but also our ministry. In other words, 1 Corinthians 3:8, this is how Paul uses the application. Now he that plants, there you go again, he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Put down Galatians 6, 7 and 9 as well, because it's the same idea. And these verses also very simply explain the fact that if we end up sowing good seed of the Word of God, the seed of whatever monies we have, the seed of our own work, what we do. Literally, we're doing the most unimaginable thing possible, and that is we're sowing our own life into people. And when we believe that, then God says, I will, by virtue of my own principle of sowing and reaping, you will be blessed because of that. Now, let me give you one last illustration. I'm going to read this because I try and read about once a year because it helps motivate me to realize that this very idea, he that sows in tears is going to reap in joy. These are the people, the Jews. They're in captivity. It's 70 years. And they come and they're told, you are free to go. Gather all your belongings, what little you have, and we will lead you back to your land in Israel, probably around 500 miles. And as they're getting closer and closer to their homeland, some of them that were young when they came, now they're old and they remember. Some of them that have since died, but they had their children that are now grown up and they've been told someday come back to the land. They're so thrilled. But what did it mean when you are sowing in tears? Does that mean that they're sad when they're crying? The African pastors have a simple story to be told. A man named Del Tarr was a missionary, and he used this illustration in the title, God's Ways Are Unreasonable. This is in West Africa, and he tells the story of how the Africans look at this particular verse, they that sow in tears will reap in joy. He said it this way, I was always perplexed by this scripture until I went to the Sahel, that vast stretch of savanna more than 4,000 miles wide, just under the Sahara Desert, with a climate much like the Bible lands. There in the Sahel, all the moisture comes in a four-month period, May, June, July, and August. And after that, not a drop of rain falls for 8 months. That ground cracks from dryness, and so do your hands and your feet. The winds off that Sahara pick up the dust, throw it thousands of feet into the air, and it slowly drifts down across West Africa as a fine grit. It gets in your mouth. It gets in your watch. It gets in everything. Well, the year's food, of course, must be all grown in those 4 months. So the average annual income is between $85 and $100 per person per year. October and November, after those four rainy months, these are beautiful months. They say the granaries are full, the harvest is come, people eat two meals a day, one about 10 in the morning, the other in the field a while, the other just after sundown. They make it into sticky mush. It's eaten hot. They roll it into little balls between their fingers. They drop it in a bit of a sauce. Then they pop it into their mouths. The meal, they say, lays heavy on their stomachs so they can sleep. Then December comes. The granaries start to recede. Many families omit the morning meal. Certainly by January then, not one family in 50 is still eating two meals a day. By February, the evening meal diminishes. People feel the clutch of hunger once again. The meal shrinks even more during March, and children often have just a half a meal a day. Then April's the month, he says, that haunts my memory. That African dusk, he said, is quiet. There's no jet engines. There's no traffic noises to break the stillness. The dust filters down through the air. Sounds carry for long distances. April, he said, is the month that you hear the babies crying in the twilight from the village over here and over there. Their mother's milk has now stopped. And then inevitably, he says, it happens. A 6 or 7-year-old boy comes running to his father one day with sudden excitement. He says, "Daddy, Daddy, we've got grain," he shouts. "Son, you know we haven't had grain for weeks." "No, no, we do have. You see, I went out of the hut where we keep the goats, and there's a leather sack hanging up on that wall. I reached up. I put my hand down in there, Daddy. There's grain in there. Give it to Mommy so we can make flour, and tonight our tummies can sleep." The father stands motionless. "Son, we can't do that." He softly explains, "That's next year's seed grain. It's the only thing between us and starvation. We're fighting, and then we're waiting for these rains, and then we've got to use that." And then, in May, the rains finally do arrive, and when they do, the young boy watches as his father takes the sack from the wall and does the most unreasonable thing imaginable. Instead of feeding his desperately weakened family, he goes to the field and he says, "I've seen it." With tears streaming down his face, he takes the precious seed and he throws it away. He scatters it into the dirt. Why? Because he believes in the harvest. He's doing the most unimaginable and unreasonable thing that you can even think of, and that is sowing the seed. The seed is his. He owns it. He can do anything he wants with it. But the act of sowing, it hurts so much that he cries. And as the African pastors say when they preach on 126 of Psalms, "Brothers and sisters, this is God's law of the harvest. Don't expect to rejoice later on unless you have been willing to sow in tears." And the very point of God's word and the very point of whatever wealth and little monies you might have or your own work, all of it represents your life in the New Testament. Jesus saying you live the crucified life, that you be in a place, say, "I'm going to do the most unreasonable and unimaginable thing I can. I'm going to sow my life. I'm going to sow it into the life of other people. I'm going to give of myself." And sometimes you do it so much that it hurts, but you do it because you believe in the harvest. I think personally that's what missions is about. I think that's why you have a mission to do. Many of you have moms and dads or brothers or sisters that need the precious seed of God's word. I believe that when you end up looking at this simple truth, you realize when Jesus said in the last few days on this earth, "Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone." And for us as the world that are living here on this earth unsaved, they are living at their best. They have the worst to look forward to. And we as Christians are living at our worst and only the best to look forward to, heaven someday.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.